Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Brother Gary, would you lead us, please?
Acknowledge any first-time visitor that's here visiting with us for the first time. I don't see anybody. Why don't we go around the room first and shake hands with everybody, give him a warm hug, tell him welcome to Chula Vista Love Baptist Church, and it's good to see you in church. Amen. Sunday of the month, before I make our announcements, we do have a couple of birthday celebrants and anniversaries this month. Sister Rosa is celebrating her birthday today. Where's she? Yes! Okay. And then also Michelle Hernandez is also celebrating on the 20th. Yes, the other one. The 24th, Sister Rosio, she's not here today, she's celebrating her birthday. And then Brother Roger and Sister Lori are celebrating their anniversary on the 11th. Amen. Since 1956. Wow. On the 7th of this Wednesday is my wife's and I's 15th year anniversary. We'll be in LA for Zuriel's student convention. I've asked my brother to preach. Where is he at? I've asked my brother to preach for the Thursday night service so that we could be at the student convention. And that's also so that I could have my anniversary date with my wife on Wednesday. So why don't we sing a birthday song, Camille?
Yeah.
Yes. Ready? Yes. Ready? Jeru, you should sit right there, so you're a backup. If you're celebrating your birthday today, why don't you stand up, and then if celebrating your anniversary, please also stand up so we can sing for you. The seven. Happy birthday. Come on. Come on. Come on, just happy birthday. Ready? Sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Wow. 62 years? Wow. Amen. I like brother Roger's style. I think I did that when I was a teenager. When I wanted to kiss a girl, I pretend I would trip and then. Amen. Amen. With all kidding aside, I'd like for our church members to meet after the morning service today. We do have an emergency situation that needs to be decided upon, and that is the plumbing.
Amen.
Okay. Last Sunday, we'd had to cancel our evening service because the toilets flooded, both in the men's and the ladies' restroom. The water came out of the urinals, out of the toilet, and we had several plumbers come in to give us an estimate of how much is going to be to repair the damages. I appreciate Brother Gary and Sister Sandra and Brother Roger and the rest of the men that have taken their time to take some quotes. We do have four quotes that I'd like to present to you after the morning service. Please stick around. The reason why we're having this emergency meeting is there are about 8 to 10 areas in our sewage that's about that much of an opening. So please be careful when you're flushing the toilet. Please don't flush anything that's not supposed to be flushed anyway. Because last Sunday we had another incident, and last Thursday night the water came out. And so we need to take care of that. Amen. So please stick around after the morning service. We need to vote on which contractor to go with. And the men have diligently done the homework, and we just need to decide today. That way you can get taken care of. My suggestion is to just leave those that have already done the homework. Just if we could just decide on how much we are willing to spend, and then leave the rest of the details to those that have been, taking care of this for so long, for almost 2 or 3 weeks now, as opposed to having the entire church, voicing out their opinion about, like, whether to get plastic or concrete, There are men that are experienced in those matters. I suggest we just leave it to them. As a church, let's just vote on how much we are willing to spend. What I would like, what I prefer, is that right now the sewage of our church that comes from the toilet, from the bathroom, runs through the middle of our auditorium. Okay? So, and there's one specific cloggage where that's affecting this, right where Sister Connie is sitting, there's the pipe is about, the opening of the pipe is about this small.
Yeah.
Okay, right where she's sitting. And now there are about eight to ten more, Brother Gary, other areas throughout that sewage, places where it's bad. Now, I want you to imagine this for a second. If we keep on waiting, okay, if we keep on waiting, pretty soon Sister Connie's going to have some water by her feet. She's going to get soaked. And I think it will cost us more. It will cost us more to have to dig through. We might have to, you know, excavate through the concrete through here to get that done. So my recommendation is to redo the entire sewage and plumbing to drive it outside. So it won't have to go through our auditorium, so we don't have to break down the concrete and the carpet. That's going to cost us a lot of money. So the contractors that Brother Gary, Sister Sandra have found, most of them are creating, relining the piping to go towards the outside instead of the inside. And that's my recommendation. In the long run, if something happens again, they'll be easier to service because they're outside. They don't have to come in through here. We don't have to cancel our services. Amen?
Amen.
And let's have a decision by today at the end of the morning service. Amen? Anything else? Oh, also, this week is going to be the last week when we are going to have Thursdays as our midweek service. Starting next week, we're going back to our old schedule, which is Wednesday nights for our midweek service. So put that down on your calendar. God has given me a schedule that is permanently off on Wednesday nights. On top of the weekends off that I already have. Amen. So, next Wednesday. This Thursday is going to be the last Thursday. It's going to be the last week where we have a Thursday night service. The following week, second week of the month, we'll be back to Wednesday nights. Amen? Amen. So, still the same time, just a different day. Amen? That's all I got. We have a scripture reading.
So, ignore the bulletin. Because I got services Wednesday, this Wednesday. So, there's no services this Wednesday. It'd be the following Wednesday. So, so ignore that. And then, since we're moving to Wednesdays, now we can start going to the galley again.
Amen.
So, on Thursdays, we used to go to the galley like once a month. Because they have a special on their fish and chips. So, we can start doing that again. And then we have Brother J. Rue with the scripture reference. Let's all stand.
Okay, read your name, Matt.
Preach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see. And then we have Brother Johnny. So you can all be seated. Brother Johnny.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I have been praying for Pastor that God would make a way for him that he can have the time off that he needs. And you know, God is good. Always and all the time. I knew he was going to come through. But you know the hardest thing about me serving my Lord? Patience. I want things done, and hey, I learned how to wait now. Amen. He's so good. That's why I sing. Please.
Amen.
is singing about my Lord throughout the year. I sung when I was happy, or I sung when I had fear. But there are some folks who make questions that I do it all for sure. Oh, but the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know that I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's a power to sing. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone, for I sing because someday I'm going home, and there shall be throughout eternity. Now I sung to those walking through the fiery fire, and I watched as their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. Oh, then I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. You know, this morning I'm so glad that my Lord has given me, He has given me victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because now there's a power to sing. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone, for I sing because someday I'm going home, and there throughout eternity. Oh, I sing because I'm not alone. Oh, yes, I sing because I'm going home, and there I would sing throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Yes, I will. Yes, I will, Pastor. Rock and roll.
Amen. All right, our offertory hymn is number 249, Nothing But the Blood.
What can wash away the sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Number 4.
This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain.
We just need a couple of ushers. Brother George? Brother Gary, you got it. Amen. Special Sister Camille Aquino.
Thank you.
Jelena, Giroux. Pray for Sister Ruthie and Zuriel. There's a church in Riverside that does not have a pianist today. And, you know, it's Sister Ruthie's ministry to be able to be a blessing to other churches that are in need of pianists. We happen to be blessed with more than one pianist. Amen? And so I think as a church, we can't be selfish. When Sister Ruthie asked me, you know, I'm grateful for Sister Ruthie. She asked me before time that, Pastor, can I go to Riverside? There's a church there that does not have a pianist on this day. I can be selfish and say, no, I need you here. But no, I can't do that. You know, one of the things that's good to do too, if there is a church that does not have a pastor, kind of like Chula Vista Baptist Church for a little bit, remember? If there is a church that does not have a pastor, you know what I'd like for our church to do? To send some of our men to that church. Prepare a message and preach in that church. Amen? That's what Christianity is about. So pray for Zuriel. They should be returning this afternoon or tonight with Sister Ruthie. Pray for their safety as they travel from Riverside. This morning, I'd like us to return back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 34 to 46. If you would stand to honor the word of God. So let's begin with verse 33. And then we'll read all the way to verse 37. After we read the verses, let me ask Brother Mac to pray for this message. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 14. Let's start with verse 33. Are you there? Verse 33 says, Then they told Saul, saying, Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood. And he said, You have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. And Saul said, Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me here every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, Let us go down after the Philistines by night, and spoil them until the morning light. And let us not leave a man of them. And they said, Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest, Let us draw near here unto God. The title of this message is Let Us Draw Near Unto God. Verse 37. And Saul asked counsel of God, Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But notice how the verse ends. But he answered him not that day. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8, and then I'll ask Brother Matt to pray. James 4, 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Brother Mac, can you pray for this message, please?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. People say that you are lucky. But I say I'm not lucky. I'm blessed.
Yes.
So I thank you, O God, for your blessing. I thank you for your love, your courage, your forgiveness. We thank you, O God, for being with us.
Yes.
O Lord, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for my church.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing up to honor the Word of God. Last Sunday, starting with verse 33 and 34, we learned that King Saul had prohibited his people from eating all that much needed honey. The honey was available and abundant. It was found all over the place. It was all over the land. But King Saul had said, thou shalt not eat today. Now, as a result, we learned that the people, out of despair and hunger, they turned into something that is unimaginable, and it was even forbidden under the law of Moses. You know what they did in verse 32? The Bible says that they killed the animals. They were like wild beasts. And sadly, they ate them with blood. The lesson that we learned from last Sunday was that the Word of God should not be kept from God's people. If you prevent the people from gaining access to the Word of God, if the clergy does not give free access to the Scriptures, and if the Word of God is taken away from its rightful caretakers, that is every Christian, according to Romans chapter 3 and 1 Peter, the people will seek the truth somewhere else. That was the lesson last Sunday. The Word of God belongs to God's people. John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 5, verse 39, we are commanded to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now this one I want you to see, turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. You know, the Christian life cannot be lived apart from the Word of God. Take a look at Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. The Bible says these were noble than those in Thessalonica in that they, what does that say? Received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures every Sunday. Somebody correct me. That's not what it says. It says they search the Scriptures daily. The life of a Christian cannot be lived apart from this book. The Christian life cannot be victorious outside of this book. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 16 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Spirit of God speaks through this book. People say, well, what is your guide when it comes to the Christian life? People say, well, my guide is the Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit of God guide you in your life? The Holy Spirit of God guides the Christian how to live this life through this Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration. You know that word, inspire, where you find the word Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God breathes through this book. This book is a living book. Amen? People say, well, Pastor, can't I hear the Word of God? Can't I know the will of God in my life outside of the Word of God? No, you cannot. The Word of God deals with the Holy Spirit of God deals with the life of the Christian and with the soul of the Christian through the Holy Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Acts chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says that therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The admonishment to his son Timothy. He admonishes Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So, At first, King Saul prohibited them from eating. Look at the verse now in verse 34. Verse 34 says, "And Saul said, Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me here every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them, and sin not against the Lord in eating with blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there." So at first, imagine this for a second. At first, Saul prohibited them from eating. He realizes his error. But instead of repenting first and admitting that it was his fault, he tells the people, look at what he tells the people. Saul tells the people to sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. You know what King Saul is doing? He reverses and does the exact opposite of his command. Are you with me? First, he told them, don't eat. You're not allowed to eat. Here in verse 34, he's telling them to have a feast. He's telling them to just pig out. In colloquial terms, just pig out. Go ahead and have a feast. Go ahead and eat everything as much as you can. He reversed his exact, he does the exact opposite of his first command. Now, such is the nature, such is your nature when you sin. You know, when we have done wrong, we are slow to admit fault. We are quick to put the blame on others. And by doing so, you know what happens? We shoot ourselves in the foot when we try to make amendments. Amen? You understand what King Saul here is doing? King Saul, instead of saying, I'm sorry, it is my fault, I told you not to eat, he doesn't even admit that. All he says is, it's your fault, you sinned, you ate blood. Now let's have a feast. Where's the confession there? There's no confession. Are you following me? But that is characteristic of your nature as a human being. Like I said, when we have done wrong, we are slow to admit it. We're quick to put the blame on others. And then we try to make amendments only to shoot ourselves in the foot. You take, for example, when a person lies. When a person lies and the consequences of the lie begin to surface, the first reaction, correct me if I'm wrong, is not to admit the lie. What's the first human instinct when we lie? The first human instinct when we lie is to try to cover it up. And if we can't cover it up, we try to justify it. Are you with me? We try to justify it. Then when the damage has become uncontrollable, the guilty person points the finger like this. Right? The guilty person points the finger only to realize that when you point one finger at somebody, three other fingers is pointing right back at you. Amen? Then finally, just like King Saul, the deceiver tries to reverse and does the exact opposite of what he initially lied about. You understand people are deceptive and cunning? That's what the Bible says, tells us to be aware and be wary of them. But don't worry, people that are deceptive and cunning, they will self-destruct in the end. Oh yeah. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16, Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." As Christians, we ought to be wise. Amen? I tell you, there are deceptive and cunning people in this world. And you don't even have to go to the jails and the prisons to find them. Sometimes even in your own family, you'll find them. Amen? Ouch. But you know why Christians today, you may say, well, Pastor, that's kind of hurtful. It's hurtful, but it's true. You know why Christians today cannot stand preaching? Because true preaching hurts and brings conviction. And conviction is against the wicked conscience of man. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 30, verse 10 with me. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10. You know, I listen to other pastors and other preachers on my, whenever, every time I have time. When I listen to them, I not only do I, you know, ask God to bless them, to be with them, but then I ask God to speak to me. But you know, I notice a trend among preachers today. The trend is that preachers are shying away from preaching. But take a look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10. Let's start with verse 9. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. Isaiah says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. That's the characteristic of our society today. Notice, which say to the seers, now that's the preachers, if I may, which say to the seers, see not. In other words, close your eyes and pretend that you do not see. And to the prophets, look at your Bible. This is from your Bible, not from me. And to the prophets, you know, that's to the pastors, if I may, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us what? Smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Amen? The characteristic of the society today is I don't want a pastor that tells me about my sin. I don't want a church that yells about my sin and that tries to bring conviction into my soul. I want a pastor in a church that loves and loves and loves again. I do too. But do you realize that true love requires me to be harsh in my preaching?
Amen.
Amen? I know a man that says, I love my children. I love my children so much that I cannot spank them. I tell you, no, you do not love your children. You love yourself. You're scared to punish them when they need it. That's not true love. You're scared to point them to the right direction. That's not true love. You are consenting to their rebellion. Amen? Now let's get back to King Saul. Verse 35. Verse 35. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. Once again, we find King Saul trying to usurp the office of the priest. Over and over from the beginning of this ministry, you learn about King Saul. He's always trying to get in that office of the priest. Remember what he did? He made a sacrifice and an offering before the prophet came. And his excuse, well, where the pastor is gone. Well, the people are complaining. I'm going to go ahead and make this offering. Remember him? Remember what he had done? So in verse 34, here's King Saul again, trying to usurp the office of the priest. You know, he's like a member. He's like a church member. This one's going to hurt. He's like a member who tries to pass through the church, not from the pulpit, but from the pews. I'm thankful to God that we don't have one in this church today. Amen. But there are church members that they might as well be the pastor. I mean, the pastor has the title, but they are the ones that really dictate which direction the church is going. And they threaten the church and they say, well, if you don't do what I want to be done, I'm out of this church. My tithe goes with me. Amen? And you say, well, pastor, there are no such people. Oh, yes, there are. They're pastoring the church from the pews, not from the pulpit. The pastor is just a puppet. Amen? Well, I'm thankful for our church. In the church, you know, everyone has a gift and a calling. The issue is not who's higher and who's lower. That is not the issue. The issue is that in the church, everyone has a gift and a calling. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. Let me teach you some New Testament doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not about who's the boss. It is about what is your gift. Look at verse 1. In the church, everyone has a gift and a calling. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Slide down to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Are you with me? For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, beginning with verse 4, the Bible says, there is one body, and one Spirit, and one hope, and one faith of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then when you slide down to verses 14, and 15 and 16, here's what Paul says. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith. Look at your Bible. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. I'll slide down to verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know who the boss is? Jesus Christ is the boss. But as when it comes to the church, take a look at verse 16. In the church, everyone has a gift and everyone has a calling. Verse 16 says, from whom? The whole body. Fitly joined together. You like that? Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In the church, everyone has a gift, everyone has a calling. Oh, how many churches today would be united? How many churches today would be complete and would be joyful if everyone understands that not everybody can be the pastor? Not everybody can clean the dishes. Amen? Not everybody can vacuum the floor. Not everybody can teach. Not everybody can go out. Visitation, some people can only do one thing and not the other. Amen? But in the end, at the end of the day, when if you put together the different parts of the body of Christ, the Bible says we are compacted. together. And that's how edification begins. And that's how the church of God is edified. Amen? Now notice in verse 36, as we come to close, how King Saul tries to redeem himself and his glory. Look at verse 36. And Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them. I want you to see three let us's." Three let us's in verse 36. The first let us is this. Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines." The second one is, "Let us not leave a man of them." And in the third let us is the priest saying, "Let us draw near here unto God." You know, King Saul shoots himself in the foot. He overreacts. It was Jonathan, if you remember, it was Jonathan who was used by God to defeat the Philistines. Remember? But here in verse 36, we find Saul. Imagine this. Jonathan defeated the Philistines and drove them away without the help of King Saul. And in verse 36, here comes King Saul. He's like maybe in sports. He's like that player who doesn't really play. He just sits on the bench. Like a baseball player, Brother Roger, who just sits on the bench. When the only time that player gets up is when the team is winning. You know someone like that? They don't want to be a part of the battle. They know they're a part of the team, but they don't want to be a part of the battle. They don't want to be there. They just want to be here. When the team is losing, they sit on the bench. They remain seated on the bench. But when the team is winning, all of a sudden they want to say, "I want in. Put me in. Put me in. I want to play. That's King Saul. The Philistines were already defeated. The Philistines were already driven away. King Saul says, "Let's go after them." He's overreacting. You know what? King Saul, if you study his life, King Saul merely wanted to claim at least part of the glory. He was eager to make it look like the Philistines were retreating from him. He wanted to be a part of the glory instead of just Jonathan. Here, once again, we find the sinful nature of man. The sinful nature of man wants to receive glory. Everybody wants to be patted on the shoulder and be told, "You did it." That's your nature. That's my nature. That's in human nature to want to be glorified. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 with me. Jeremiah chapter 9, I learned from this man that I respect in the ministry. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. Highlight these verses. These are good verses. Thus saith the Lord, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Well, that covers everything. The three main things that mankind glories about. We glory about our wisdom, we glory about our might and fame, and we glory about our riches. But take a look at verse 24. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he," what does that say? "Understandeth and knoweth me." Amen? 1 Corinthians 1, 25 and 29, the reason why mankind should not take any glory for the good things that God has given him according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, says, he says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, you're calling brethren how that many, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? In verse 29 he tells you, Paul says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see? The priest tells Saul. So King Saul says, let us go down and chase the Philistines. Let us go down and defeat them. Every man. But notice what the priest said. The priest said, oh no. Let us draw near unto God. The advice of the priest to King Saul, knowing that the true error is not that the people ate of the blood. The problem was caused by their king. The priest's advice was to draw near unto God. The priest knew that the problem was with King Saul. The true problem was that King Saul was away from God in his heart. He was trying to cover it up with the visible victories in his life. But you know, Saul, for the third time, is like most Christians today. As long as everything on the outside looks good, I can hide what is inside my heart. I just have to make sure I play my part right. Then no one will know I am actually far away from God. That's what's going on with King Saul. King Saul was trying to win the victory. King Saul was trying to prove that he was a rightful king by winning victories. But the priest knew that despite of all the outward things that King Saul was trying to portray, his heart was away from God. The priest said, let us draw near unto God. I'm reminded of a story to close. There was a story of two brothers in Luke chapter 15. You may know of that story as the story of the prodigal son. But in reality, the story of the prodigal son is the story of two brothers. The younger brother had gone away, the Bible says, had taken everything, all the portions of his goods that he was about to receive from his father. And that younger brother had gone far and had, the Bible says, that he had lived and wasted his substance with riotous living. And when people hear about the story of the prodigal son, people rejoice about the fact that the prodigal son found his way back to his father. But if you study that story real carefully, there was another prodigal son. The other prodigal son is that other brother. You see, that other brother, on the outward, he had stayed with the father. On the outward, he had stayed faithful and true to their father. On the outward, he had served his father on the outward. But deep in the heart, I tell you, that older brother was more prodigal than the younger one who had left. Amen. The question is, who was truly backslidden? Was it the son who left, or the son who stayed? Amen? James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know how the story ends in verse 37? Saul seeks counsel of God, whether he shall go down after the Philistines. But the Bible says, he answered him not that day. You know what the problem with Saul was? Saul was a man who on the outward looked spiritual, but on the inward, in his heart, he was backslidden. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How about you today? How about you today? Are you near unto your God? I'm not asking if you're here every Sunday. I'm not asking if you're dressed up for church every Sunday. I'm not asking if you're carrying your Bible every Sunday. I'm asking, are you close to Him when you're not in church? Are you close to Him when you're not in church? That's the question. Maybe you're not saved. How about you make that decision today? The altar is open. Why don't we stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Some people have come. I don't know, God has spoken to you. Only God knows the heart. Only God knows your heart. You can play the Christian. You can act the Christian. You can talk the Christian. You can even have the victories in the Christian life. But is your heart really close unto God? The altar is open. Are you seeking the glory? Are you seeking to be glorified? I hope you're not. Only one person deserves the glory. For every victory we have in life, for every success we have in life, for every joy, even the failures that we have in life, there's only one person that deserves the glory. His name is Jesus. God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Brother Roger, can you lift up your voice and close us in prayer, please? Brother Roger.